It is a trifecta, 590 WKZO. It's Jay, it's Jim, it's Roger, it's Gene Clem, it's Brewmaster Dan, it's Old Peninsula, it's the debut of Pumpkin Ale. Beautiful thing, I know. I know, it's really nice.
I wanted to tell you that you look just like a former employee of ours that is in a band called Combat Corduroy.
Oh, I love those
Logan
guys.
Castle. Spitting image.
I think he's an ex-friend now that you made this comparison.
Oh, stop it, will you?
Well, I hear you guys on the radio, and you always wonder what you look like. So if anyone knows Logan.
Now you never want us to come back, right?
That's good. Yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
I'm the young-looking one. The rest of them never Thanks, Dan.
Just because you act immature doesn't count.
You too. Knock it off.
Boys.
I know.
Settle down.
The boys are back in town. All right, we're live from Old Peninsula. You have a chance to come down here. $25 gift certificate we're going to give out. Central Western tickets we're going to give out.
Cash
we're going to give out.
We're going to have a chance to win cash.
Bunch of stuff. I know.
Yeah, so make sure you do it before you leave. It's cool.
Absolutely. And try some pumpkin ale.
Yeah, you got to try some pumpkin ale.
Get a growler. Head home.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you found out what the meaning of the growler was?
It is. It had something to do with the CO2 in the bucket. Then they used to slosh around. It made a growler kind of sound. So that's why they call it growler.
Okay. Oh.
Don't do that in England because that's like a slang word for sex offender.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different meaning when you walk in and say, "Hey, I want a growler," when you go into the pub in England.
Yeah. Depends on what kind of English you're speaking.
That's true.
Yes.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's a good old American pub. It means fill me up.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Beer.
All right, so as we speak right now, Jim, isn't something going on?
Yeah, Kalamazoo City Commission is over at City Hall. They started, they convened at 4. They are going through the 12 applications that they have from the firm that rounded up the candidates for the city manager's position. From what we understand, there is more detail to these 12. There is more information for these 12. This firm did a lot better job than the firm they hired the first time. And then subsequently fired because they didn't do a good enough job. As we found out in a story that was on WKZO.com a few days ago, one of the candidates is an internal candidate. It's Public Safety Chief Jeff Hadley. He is one of the final 12.
And is anybody else surprised by that? Were you surprised?
Yes and no.
Well, surprise is a weird word to use. Only because I guess I'm not surprised by it. Because I can see, once you say it, it's like, well, I can see how he would want to. He'd have the capabilities. He'd actually have some of the understanding by running a public safety. The question, I guess, more so is, why would you want to go from being the head of public safety into the city manager? And I don't understand that piece of it.
That's Well, but, it makes sense because you got to think public safety is probably the biggest budget area for the city. Between covering fire department and police.
Oh, absolutely.
Bring the experience managing that large of a piece of the budget to City Hall, you can see where that makes sense. And most of the risk that the city has for lawsuits come from police and fire department action, not from how streets are plowed.
The surprise, surprise is a strange word to use only because, once I found out he was in it, it's like, I guess I'm not surprised. I guess it makes sense. I don't know why he'd want, I don't know, and let's just face it, I don't know why anybody wants the job, to be completely honest.
Yeah,
Again.
That's my thing, right? That's like from the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a challenge.
Well, it's a great challenge. And let's face it, we've had a city manager who has been able to work the books pretty well. I mean, he's been able to keep things afloat relatively well. He has.
Yeah.
He's really talented.
The new city manager is going to end the chain. Because Mark Ott, go back to Mark Ott, his deputy was Pat DiGiovanni.
Right.
One of Pat DiGiovanni's deputies was Ken Collard. So we've had a progression from deputies to move up. Well, the deputy city manager, Jerry, is retiring along with Ken. This is going to be the first city manager that Kalamazoo's had in quite a long time that hasn't come from an internal. I don't know who the other candidate is who's local. It could be somebody from the city manager's office for all I know. But I'm guessing that there's a real good chance that the next city manager in Kalamazoo is going to be someone from outside Chief Hadley notwithstanding, but even if he were chosen, he still wouldn't have come from the city manager's office. So we're going to have new approach here.
Let me reframe the discussion for a second. And, you know, is it important to have someone from the inside or to have fresh eyes on this? As you line that up, it's like, look, Mark Hart's been here. All the rest of the folks have been here. Is it time to bring somebody in with a different perspective, maybe from the outside, to be able to go, okay, here's how we did it here, here's how we did it there, here's how other, you know.
As long as there's some continuity with the commission, I don't think you should erase all memories and start over. Maybe the city manager having a fresh perspective guided by a commission who has learned along the way.
Well, let's face it. I mean, our representative government style becomes a situation where the city manager has most of has a lot of the control of what happens in the city. Not all are like that.
Well, right up until the city commission fires him.
Well, that's true. I mean, again, but they've got a lot of control. I mean,
yeah.
Again, you know, it's not an...
They hire the city manager. They rely on the city manager to do the day-to-day operations because that's the way the government's set up.
Correct.
But the city manager takes his marching orders a lot of times from the city commission. They also rely on his or her expertise and that person's been trained in public administration and whatnot. And so a lot of times the city manager, when they advise the city commission on something, the city commission is more than likely to go along with it because that person's the expert. Now, what happens is when the wheels start coming off the cart, then you start seeing,
that's
all right, why?
I mean,
No. I will tell you that you were talking about why would you want to do this. That's a very good question. And I think that may be a question that some of these city commissioners are asked. These candidates, why do you want to come to Kalamazoo? Because, you know, like every other municipality, you know, with the state revenue funding and federal revenue funding, you know, cut off in a lot of cases, Kalamazoo and the city of Kalamazoo and the county of Kalamazoo, we've said it before, have done very well over the last few years. But it's starting to get to what they refer to as nut cutting time. It's going to be, there are some lean times ahead for both the city and the county. And I think that's something that whoever comes in is going to have to deal with. We're going to have some issues and they've got to be able to handle them. And they've got to be able to handle them in a proactive way. So, you know, I imagine this will be very tough questioning going on over City Hall.
This is a tough fire. I mean, there's no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
And I give them, you know, again, the information that I had from a couple of months ago where, you know, my informant said, hey, look, I don't know if the commission had the testicular fortitude to stop the process and start over. Turns out they did.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was important, too, because none of them were that enamored with any of the candidates. And,
mm-hmm.
and the, you know, the importance of this hire, you kind of outlined, Jim. I mean, you know, we're talking about someone who's going to be here potentially for a while through what may not be the best in the best of times with cuts in state spending and the rest. So I don't, you know, again, the person of this group, you know, does it have to be someone from the inside or does it have to be someone from the outside? Are you just looking for, it's like an NFL draft. Are you looking for the best candidate? And it's like, look, it doesn't matter. Here's what you're going to do. Here's the person.
It's interesting, though, if they choose Chief Hadley, what kind of relationship he will have with the new chief of police, and might he be tempted to manage the police because he has some background there?
Major background.
Yeah.
Well, but I think they'd be watching for that. I mean, the first sign that he might be doing something like that, if he were chosen as a city manager, I think it would be they'd put the kibosh on it very quickly.
I don't know if you have time to as a city manager, do you really have time to micromanage anything within
the
city?
No, not really. And because
I mean, really?
True.
You know, the city manager has deputy city managers, and then there are, of course, department heads and whatnot. And the city manager kind of is like the CEO of the you know, the commission's like the board of directors, and the city manager like the CEO. That person's the point person, but there's a lot of it goes into this thing. But I have to tell you, from what I knew about Ken Collard, he was a very good delegator. He really let the people who worked for him work for the city. And he didn't really meddle in a lot of it. And I only know this because of a previous life. So, but I'm saying is...
What previous life?
Yeah, tell us about that.
No. I just, you could see that he would not micromanage. And that's not something that Ken Collard was really into. He wanted the city to hum along. And, you know, he would intercede when he had to intercede. But the thing is that he's there to supervise everything, but he has to have people underneath him who know what they're doing.
We're looking at it from the model that you were just talking about as the CEO and the board. The commission would be the board. And so it'll be interesting to see what are they really worried about. If they're worried about maybe something not working the way it should be, you could go somebody from outside. If you're really happy with the way things have been going, but I want somebody maybe who just is a little bit better in this skill or that skill, then you pick from internally. It's going to be interesting really to see which way they go. It's going to tell a lot.
Could the fact that he's been a successful chief of police here in town be a detriment in getting the new job? Is the city commission likely to say, this ain't broke, we ain't fixing it?
I think if he's gotten this far, then he deserves a fair chance, and I think they will give him a fair chance. I just thought of something. Now, the election's coming up of city commission, okay?
Yeah.
There are enough candidates that are going to run for this. I mean, 6 of the 7 commissioners are going to run for re-election. But there's a pretty good slate of candidates who are running for the first time or maybe the second time. And I think what could happen is, say you have some turnover, all right? This city commission picks the city manager. Suddenly you get, let's say, three new commissioners in. How's that going to bode if they didn't have any choice in the city manager? Is there going to be a rub there? You know, maybe their choice for a city manager wouldn't have been the person that, you know. Then you have some issues.
There's a lot of positives to the system we have set up. There's also some negatives.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of the negatives. Look, if the board turns on you, you're out of a job.
Yeah.
If the board's happy with what you've got, you're there for a long time.
Life is good.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I mean, from a strictly what they've done standpoint, I don't know that the 6 city commissioners aren't going to be reelected because they've done a nice job. I think there's going to be some shakeup at the top. Obviously, there will be the vice mayor position because Vice Mayor McKinney isn't running again.
Any relation?
No.
Okay.
So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. There may be a shakeup in the order, but I think I would have a feeling that maybe the city of Kalamazoo voters will return those 6. So we'll see what happens. But they're talking about it now.
I think Gene's point is very good. It all depends on where their focus is at.
Yeah.
Who the candidate's going to be.
Where they think their Achilles heel is.
Yep, exactly. All right, more to come. We're live from Old Peninsula. We're having pumpkin ale.
Yeah.
The debut of pumpkin ale. It's out today. Come on down and get a growler. We're here
putting
until
bullies
5:00.
Behind bars.
It is a trifecta, 590 WKZO. We are live today from Old Peninsula as we taste some more of this pumpkin ale. Keep them coming. It's all good.
Yeah, bring it over.
It's too much
is just enough.
It's that taste in the back of the throat, Rob.
Yeah.
It's just delicious.
It's a very clear taste. It's really smooth, and it leaves you wanting more.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Brewmaster Dan said, this has been the recipe, what do you say, 10 years?
Yeah.
10 years running?
Yeah.
So it's like, it hasn't truly changed that recipe.
They endeavor to make it the same every year.
Yeah, it was tasty.
Yeah.
I'd say.
But as we were saying before, it tastes like a beer with some pumpkin and spices.
Which is, I don't want a pumpkin pie in a glass.
Yeah, it's not dessert. It's a beer that you could drink.
Absolutely. So, you can come down here. It makes its debut. You can get a growler, head home. Let's hang out. Or it's like Gene said, you hang out and have a sandwich.
Yeah. Come for the food. Stay for the pumpkin ale.
That's right. Absolutely.
Aren't you not going to come down here and stay for us?
Well, that's true.
That's a good point.
But although they might want to. You never know. I mean, we have a $25 gift certificate. You know, you may want to.
And
tickets to Central Michigan, Western Michigan, and chance for cash.
I actually had a texter that wants to know what the texting option to the giveaway is. Nope, got to come here. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's the way it works out.
Although, texter, stay with you because I don't know. They may have stuff to give away in the afternoon. I know we're going to give away stuff in the morning. So.
Yes, you are.
Texter.
Yes.
Yes. Good stuff.
Indeed.
And here is at the corner of Portage and Michigan, right downtown.
Oh, yeah.
On the point.
Oh, yeah.
Where Michigan Avenue curves to the
left.
The correct direction, to the left.
Yeah, whatever.
Excuse me?
Whatever. Ron.
I just had to say that for you guys.
You came up with one. You added to the story today. What was the...
Well, I found it interesting that Representative Stephen Fincher from Tennessee claims that Jesus would oppose food stamps.
Really now?
And he says that government assistance is unchristian and it constitutes theft. Now, it's not that philosophy that I found interesting. What I found
interesting
is that since 1999, he has collected $3.5 million from the government in taxpayer-financed farm subsidies, and he received a $70,000 subsidy from the government last year. That's not stealing, but food stamps is.
I'm dumbfounded. I really have no comment.
Gene?
I don't know how you answer that.
$3.5 million this guy skimmed off the government.
No, stole, according to his
logic.
He stole from
the government.
Has this guy not heard of the loaves and fishes story?
Apparently not.
I'm serious.
There's some parts of Christianity that appear to have escaped him.
No, you're talking about selective Christianity?
I'm just saying.
I got to think, you know, when you make a statement like that you would have to know what, you know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I better not talk bad about it because somebody's going to do some digging nowadays. I mean, it's this new thing, Gene, that's called the internet.
Yeah.
Right,
a whole bunch of stuff on
it. Yeah.
Yeah, people go there and look stuff up.
I know. And it's like, oh, he says he doesn't like food stamps. And it's
that.
Well, gee, I wonder what he's done over. Oh, look at that. How much money is he taking from the federal government?
$3.5 million.
Political suicide.
Well, most people that are good politicians usually have a reason behind what they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know what his reason here is.
Yeah.
I can't quite figure
out. One wonders what was going through his mind.
I don't think anything. This is one of those where you're just like, I'm not going to speak. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and not say anything because all I can do here is make my situation even worse, which is exactly what he did.
And so I found that ironic.
Is he a Democrat or Republican? Democrat or Republican?
Thing?
He's a Republican.
Okay, so
did you notice? I didn't point that out.
Well,
I just referred to him.
Here's what I like about you. If that would have been a Democrat, you would have done.
I would have done exactly the same thing.
You would have done the story.
Yeah.
And that's the nice part. It's like, okay, Roger will be an equal opportunity basher.
That's right.
For the most part, Gene.
Yeah.
Roger's all about waste, though. He's like me.
Yeah.
Throwing away my money. I'll give you my money, but don't be throwing away.
You can be a social liberal and a fiscal conservative at the same time.
It's watching your money. It's watching every dime you spend.
Hello.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You don't have to be stupid to be a liberal. It helps.
No, if you would have said that.
I'm not touching.
I can say that.
I am not touching that with a 2-week vacation at Pismal Beach, man. That ain't happening. No.
All right. Exactly. Give him a couple more pumpkin ale.
More pumpkin ale, please.
Live from Old Peninsula. It is the Trifecta 590 KBO.
For humanity, the numbers are adding up. 3 decades, 300,000 houses, 1.5 million people in simple, decent, affordable homes. But the most important number is one volunteer, one house, one family under a roof you help build. Support the work in your community or wherever your heart leads you. Volunteer, get involved, and help build it. Visit us at habitat.org.
I think you are.
Might be.
Yeah.
It was operator error, is all it comes down to.
Yeah.
I hit the wrong button. I closed out the wrong window.
Oops.
It's Bill Gates' fault. It's not mine.
It's just not intuitive.
It is the trifecta. It's Jay, it's Jim, it's Rogers, Gene Clem. Chris from Richland shows up. Tim's here. Multiple others all partaking in the
pumpkin ale.
Pumpkin ale's out today. It's delicious.
Yes.
The little bit that I had was very, very good. Yeah.
But it's better than maybe it's because there's been a period of time, but it's better than I remember. I mean, it is so smooth.
It is smooth.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
It's very tasty. So you can come down and get a growler.
What a testimonial there.
Keep them coming.
Homeboy knows
Roger's
beer.
Having fun.
Let's get him talking, see what happens next. Good. I like this.
No, this works.
Yeah.
All right, so did you see the story today about the pension fund?
The billion with a B? Yeah. Billion with a B?
Oh, B.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said million.
No, billion with a B. You know what's funny is we were talking off the air about that phrase, that payment known as quote, 13th check, unquote. You know, Kalamazoo had issues with their retirees, if you remember, a few years ago. And that had to do with an extra check that they wanted. They were trying to figure out, could they afford it?
Talking off the air. At the end of the year, you balance out and you have to put out your report. How close am I to what the government says? I have to have reserves depending on the people that's in my program.
Right.
So if you're over that, it used to be if you're over that, you could determine what you want to do with it. You could distribute it. You could take it back, put it back in a corporation, whatever you wanted to do. In this case, it looks like they took advantage and distributed it to be Santa Claus. Now, all of a sudden, the bill comes to pay, and the $1 billion is gone. So, in retrospect, it wasn't a very good idea.
Well, wait a minute. It's only $951 million. Well, I mean, let's not
exaggerate.
Right.
Okay, all right.
Blow this all out of proportion.
I said, Gene and I were talking about it off the air, and Gene's quote's perfect. It's like, look, it probably was legal. Now it was stupid, but it was probably legal.
Well, unethical, but legal.
What I want to know is this is because the unions are just screaming bloody murder over the fact that the towns, city's going into bankruptcy, blah blah blah. And they're saying no, we got to get paid, Does this news let all the air out of their balloon? No. If we hadn't paid you that extra payment, we would have had that money, and it would have made it a little easier, and we might not have had to go into bankruptcy. So somebody better be looking in the mirror here.
That's a would have, could have.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I'm just saying, is that gonna rear its ugly head while they're talking about the bankruptcy?
You're asking, so if they would have been fiscally responsible in Detroit for the last, two lifetimes, are you saying that maybe things would turn out different, Jim?
Maybe. I'm just saying that this probably had something to do with pushing them there, because if they had reinvested the 1.4 or nearly $1 billion instead of handing it out in the bonus check, the possibility exists that there would have been maybe more money and they wouldn't have had to borrow the 1.4
million. That's a point, because I've been in conservative organizations that faced the same thing, and what they said was, well, yeah, it went up this year, so we look good, but what if it goes down next year? We're keeping it into the pension fund. That's the conservative way. The liberal way would be, we're doing good. Let's pass it out. We met the law, and that's all we got to do. But I don't know if this is really germane, because how many billions are they in hole? It's more than one.
18, 19 billion.
Yeah. So
he's still. There's no doubt.
But the thing is that 1.44 billion that they borrowed has escalated. If they hadn't had to borrow the 1.44 billion, would it be, there would be less debt, and you don't know what kind of an effect.
This is the greatest thing, and I'm looking at the Detroit Free Press today. Mm-hmm. The excess payments, coupled with then Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick's decision to borrow 1.44 billion to plug the hole, amplify the city's financial crisis.
You think?
Might be a little bit understated. Just a little bit.
You know, but we're criticizing Detroit, rightfully so, for doing this, but a lot of corporations played games with overfunded pension plans as well. Exactly the same thing.
The federal government did it with the Social Security. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah, we'll just keep borrowing this money.
It's the same shell game.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hell, we got money coming out of our you-know-what. Let's spend it here. Let's spend it there. Wait a minute. Somewhere along the line, these people are going to retire, and we're not going to know what to do.
Yeah. Detroit wasn't the Lone Ranger in this kind of financial boondoggle.
Let me backtrack, though. Can you imagine being Kevin Orr and walking in and going, oh, at least we have the pensions to be able to fall back on?
No.
Mr. Orr, let me tell you about these pensions.
I got to talk to you about this.
Might want a new wrinkle for you.
You could always go to Milan and ask our buddy Kwame in Orange and say, did you really have to do this? Seriously?
Was that the money coming into the Walmart in the evening
that he had to go to the suburbs to bring back? That was only $20,000.
Oh,
I don't think Western Union would let
that
you send
that.
That
was just walking around.
That was just walking around money.
Okay.
He's got to look good. He's former mayor of Detroit, man. He was on trial. He needed a new suit.
Absolutely.
Lord knows whatever else.
Oh, and protection at the mansion.
That's right.
See, yeah. For all those parties that they have. So.
I wonder, I'm still curious, is he getting the necessary ice he needs?
Oh, and exercise equipment, too. Remember?
At the prison in Milan. He needed ice for his swollen knee and some specialized exercise equipment.
I'm just wondering, is this going to have any effect on how fast or how fervently the unions start crowing again? Because if this type of information comes out, somebody's going to snap back and say, yo, you guys got a bonus payment that contributed to this. You need to shut up.
No.
No, you don't think so?
No, and here's why. You know, once they decided to go bankruptcy, all the dirty laundry was going to be aired, and everybody knew it. Dirty laundry was coming up.
Everything.
You can't tell me that the retirement fund didn't know this story is coming. They knew what they were doing.
Absolutely.
Everybody knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Mary Kwame Kilpatrick knew what he was doing. He had the golden goose. He had more money than he knew what to do with, to be able to siphon off of all this stuff, and was found guilty. I mean, all these folks that are on the in Detroit in politics, they all knew what they had to deal with. They all knew that they'd be able to make a great life, out of being a politician in Detroit, because you're there for life. You don't ever have to worry about it. You collect a great paycheck. You don't have to do much. The pensions knew what they had to do. The government, they had to do. I mean, look, all this dirty laundry is just coming out now only because they went bankrupt.
And do you think this is the last surprise we're going to find on the way?
No, absolutely not.
And the thing is, this is just one more drop in the bucket, because you can't just say, okay, it was just a pension fund situation to put them in this. No, it was decades and decades of mismanagement. Yeah, and that ultimately goes back to not only the city council, but the voters of the city of Detroit. They've got to have a little hand in this, too, because they were just putting these people back in over and over and over and over again. And, I mean, they're turning a blind eye to what was going on, or figured, well, they know what they're doing.
That's the point. Who's looking at the books? You know, when the year they decided this great idea to borrow $1.4 billion to put
$1.4 billion
to put in the pension fund would have been, wait a minute, what's this entry? Where was the guy that checks the books? What were they doing?
Were they never audited?
That's a good question.
They were all hanging out at the mansion.
Yeah.
Where there was
great
security.
Party. I mean, it's a good gig if you can get it.
And there was
Why
security.
Do you think Dennis Archer only lasted one term? He's like, this is nuts. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Look, I can do all this stuff. But it's going to take a lot longer than just me to be able to get anything accomplished around here. I'm done. Thank you.
And didn't you say this money leaving the pension fund goes back to 1985?
In the free press, looking at it, it looks like 85.
So, yeah, if they had started doing something about this, say, 30 years ago.
Think about it, 1985 to 2000, let's face it, you had the chugging economy. You had everything going for you. If you make the right decisions at that point in time, you don't end up where we end up.
Yeah.
Instead, they said, hey, look, it's the days of wine and roses, man.
Yeah.
Well, and the way the market has recovered since the depths of the big recession,
right,
that's still not enough money to pull them out of their problem.
Well, here's the other question, because we're talking about bankruptcy here. This separate report from this consulting firm, Conway McKinsey, said the trustees of the pension systems misspent funds. So is there going to be a criminal investigation into the trustees misrepresenting Detroit's funds? I mean, is there somebody, they're bankrupt for crime. We're talking about accountability.
They can't afford a trial, Jim. They're broke.
Somebody's got to do it. I mean, seriously, are they going to hold these people responsible, the trustees of the pension fund, for screwing up?
Seriously, Donna, because they filed the law.
Yeah, that this was legal.
Legal, but stupid.
Yeah.
All right, we're live from Old Peninsula. We'll wrap things up here in a couple minutes. You still have time to come down for the $25 gift certificate and all the other stuff that we're giving away today with 590 WKZO. It is a trifecta, 590 WKZO. Sort of our last ride. It's Roger, it's Jim, it's Gene Clem, it's me.
Yeah.
That evil man they call Jamie.
Yes.
Especially last week.
You want to get some stuff away?
We can.
All right, let's get some stuff away. We have a $25 gift certificate to Old Peninsula Brew Pub.
Shake that box up
and pull it out. Uh-oh.
Who is it?
Heartbreak Chris.
Oh, Chris from
Chris Hughes. Yes, congratulations. Chris, it's always nice when our listeners Yeah. So, all right, so I got to pick two tickets to...
I verify he showed up down
here.
Yes,
he did.
Yeah, so
that's legit. Yes, he did. It was nice to see him.
Roger's blood pressure shot 20 points.
You can see his face turn red, you know.
I actually, Chris and I like a lot of the same music.
Yeah, you do.
Yes,
yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
I know.
He said goodbye to you. I saw him.
I know.
So let's...
We get along.
We looked you off when you turned your back.
Yeah.
Well.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. So does everybody.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know. Here's the winner of the pair of tickets to the Central Michigan-Western Michigan game, Leanne Lemley.
All right, cool.
So we'll give her a call, and she can pick them up at the studio. So congratulations.
Awesome.
Yes.
Very awesome.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, so tonight, by the way...
two games.
Well, Miggy's not in the lineup tonight.
Oh, baseball.
I was going to talk Tigers real
quick.
Oh,
okay, let's talk
Miggy's
Tigers.
Miggy's not in the lineup. Don Kelly at third, 7:45 against the White Sox, and Scherzer
goes for number 20, third try. Yeah. Knock on
the door. And what's the standings?
They are 5.5 games ahead of Cleveland.
Okay.
I think about 25 to go. Yeah.
25.
I think about 25 games to go.
Okay.
Yeah. If they could sweep the White Sox, that would go a long way. It was nice that the Mets beat Cleveland yesterday.
Isn't that a jinx when he does that?
Always with him.
Okay. That's what I thought.
You can say it. Gene can say it.
Yeah, but not him. No.
Just the way it works, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, right, so did you watch the Lions last night?
I watched the Lions. Right. I have to tell you that I don't want to really like jump to conclusions, but Reggie Bush looks very good in a Honolulu blue and silver uniform. He gives them that element of speed they haven't had for a long time, and that one run was beauty, really was. And you said the defense shut down Adrian Peterson after that first long run.
Yeah, when Adrian Peterson bust one for what?
The first play, 72 yards.
Oh, my goodness. It'd be a long day,
yeah.
But it's been nothing. It was nothing ever since that. I mean, they really did.
The only
Rogers sit here and goes, "What? The Lions won? Yeah, and they look good doing it."
The only black mark was Adamican Sue being stupid again.
Going there.
Being stupid. He's going to get fined by the club if he doesn't get fined by the NFL, and he may get suspended. It was a stupid play.
Okay, what did he do?
He tried to block some. I'm not going to go there.
He didn't stand
tried
up.
To block.
He went for the guy's knees, he didn't fall. Yeah, like. Like,
so
his,
not even a homer
like his like his foot fell on Matt Schaub last year and on that lineman for Green Bay.
He did not fall.
He went down.
I disagree.
He went down. But his was not the worst. The worst one was Clay Matthews of Green Bay.
I'll give you that one.
On Colin Kaepernick. I mean, he was about two yards out of bounds and kind of wrapped around his neck and then threw him down.
But see, here's the thing. He was already a torpedo at that point in time, so he was already – his feet were already out there. What are you going to do? You can't stop in mid – it's not a cartoon. You can't stop in midair and go, he's out of bounds, I'm going to stop.
Yeah, well, once you go airborne, you're on the way.
And then the other play was Tampa Bay versus the New York Jets, Geno Smith running out of bounds to stop the clock. Linebacker for Tampa Bay left his feet again with Smith on the sideline, hit him, 15-yard penalty, Jets get the field goal win. So three big penalties – but Sue is going to get fined, and he may get suspended, and it's not going to help his reputation any. He needs to knock this crap off.
Let's just call it what it is.
But you know what? The Lions won. I'm good. I'm good. All right.
Talk to you Wednesday.
All right, I'll be back. I'm in the studio tomorrow.
Yes, you are.
And Jim's back tomorrow morning on the trifecta.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590. WKZO, Kalamazoo.